May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. When a business or professional introduces something new in their business or line of products or merchandise, they are involved in risk-taking. If they really talk up and advertise how great this product is and it fails to meet what they promised, they look bad. If it's a good change or a good product and they play down the change, people wonder what's up your sleeve or why didn't you let anyone know about this new change or product? Human nature generally does not like change. And woe be to us if the change we make is worse than the original. In our gospel reading, we see Christ bringing change in ways that things have been done in the past. But he backs up his change by his authority as both Christ and King of God's kingdom. So this morning, you know me, I like the number three. Christ's authority is revealed in these various aspects of this passage. First, his authority is revealed in his calling of his disciples. Mark 1:17 says this, Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." During the first century, there was set in place this teacher-student relationship. What's out of ordinary about this is that usually the student sought out the teacher. That's not what Jesus is doing. The teacher seeks out the follower. He takes the initiative in calling to himself disciples and followers. The Lord Jesus in this passage calls two sets of brothers, Simon, later called Peter, and Andrew, as well as James and John. Within this calling, we see the unnerving call of the Lord upon these disciples. Come, follow me. We hear the immediate consequences of following of our Lord, which mean that these four men left their occupation as fishermen. This is a paradigm of the gospel, that our highest loyalty and obedience goes to Christ as King. As we unpeel this onion, let me say, in the first century, and still today in many cultures of the world, sons learn their trade from their fathers. Here, James and John are mentioned along with their father Zebedee, who was the patriarch of the family business. Can we recognize the call of Jesus going beyond and above the family business in James and John's relationship to their father, their patriarch? While Jesus as Lord doesn't mean we show disrespect to our parents, quite the opposite. The fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, will always be true, and our duty to our father and mother. But in the call of our Lord upon James and John is that following Jesus meant leaving Zebedee and their full-time occupation as fishermen. Feel the heat of that. Notice that James and John were also leaving behind a successful fishing business. How do we know that? They have hired men as well. You don't have a successful fishing business if you have both immediate family and hired servants. You would only have immediate family. And so they're leaving behind a successful fishing business and going out into the unknown. One cannot afford to hire hired men unless you're doing well. This fact of a successful business further clarifies the cost of these disciples in following Jesus. Can't you picture Zebedee's heart dropping as he sees his sons walking away He may not have said it, but certainly he thought, "Where are you going, my sons? We have work to do." One thing that I want to make clear is that while these four brothers left the family business behind, our Lord's call on each believer does not necessarily mean a geographical move or a move away from what we are currently doing as a living. What the gospel of Christ does call each one of us to do is to trust in Christ for salvation, to repent of our sins, and to love Christ first and foremost. So while you may have been born and raised in Catonsville, and you stay in Catonsville, that's fine. For instance, me, Telford, New Providence, Baltimore. There are certain facts and realities that cost me. Did I know my father and mother as well, with 65 miles difference and then 135? No. That's just a fact of life. And it's a calling I had to just sink my teeth in and accept. It may not be true of you, but whatever Christ calls you in your individual callings as a Christian, we have that common calling to love Christ above all, and sometimes that call is rather costly. But he's Lord. He's boss. Even above Zebedee, he's Lord. And so Christ may want us to remain just where we are, but we make sense of the specifics of our calling if we remember that. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. As he calls these brothers, he also makes an analogy from their profession as fishermen, and he applies it to the work of evangelism and outreach. Mark immediately shows the disciples dropping everything they do and following Christ. And it has as this primary goal to seeking the least, the last, and the lost. This call to cast our nets for people to know Christ as Lord brings into focus that bearing witness to others who don't know Christ is both a personal commitment and a group responsibility. There are ways and methods to do outreach to our community, and each church must decide which avenue of outreach makes the most sense in the context of our community. While the methods that Christians and churches use may differ, the gospel message remains the same. This means taking the Great Commission seriously and putting ourselves into the fray of our world, living out the gospel, one relationship and friendship at a time. In the context of 21st century America, that probably means before someone who is unfamiliar with the Christian gospel and church will come to a worship service, they need to get to know you as a friend a long time before they're comfortable in coming to a worship service. Back in the day when many houses had a front porch, it was the place to socialize and chat with neighbors. A number of you have told me what happened in the neighborhoods of West Baltimore on a Sunday afternoon when everybody was sitting on their porch listening to their transistor radio and the O's game was on. You knew when an O's player hit a home run because there was clapping in the neighborhood. The church needs to be engaged in the same type of front porch ministries before they come into the sanctuary. They need to warm up to what the Christian gospel is all about, and they'll know it through you and me and us. But remember, before they come here, they need to get warmed up in the front porch. Whether that's concerts, suppers, making quilts for elderly and infants, the sky's the limit. But we're casting out our nets, and we catch people with nets, not hooks. The church needs to do the same situation of using front porch ministries as a natural way of reaching out to people with the gospel of Christ. Secondly, we see our Lord's authority revealed in his teaching. Mark 1, 21 and 22 says this, "They went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and began to teach. They were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. It was a custom of many rabbis in the first century to teach on a certain point of religious practice or doctrine by quoting other rabbis on the same subject. After all, there are not many original thoughts. So it would stand to reason that since this general principle was true, it would be wise to quote respected authorities on a given subject. We do the same thing all the time. If you're a great cook, or if you're not a great cook, you quote another great cook. If you're an American, you're talking about politics, it'd be wise to quote Thomas Jefferson or George Washington. We do the same thing. And while this general principle is true, it does not apply to the Lord Jesus and his ministry because he was not an average rabbi. He was not dependent on the outside wisdom of others. His teaching was refreshingly direct and clear, and his words were true, and every word which came from his mouth was true, and the people recognized that he had authority and not as the scribes. He taught in the synagogue and in every place in which he spoke, people inherently recognized, even if they didn't follow that authority. Jesus' teaching is unlike that of the scribes because it is tied to his person and his interpretation of the scripture, which was always right. Our Lord was not an innovator in the sense that he scrapped away everything that the Jewish faith taught and started out brand new. No, he affirmed the teachings of the Old Testament. There is one God and only one God. Our Lord also affirmed that the Old Testament was and is the Word of God. It is where Christ's authoritative teaching is prominent and different from the scribes, in that the scribes, by repeating, had wandered away from the original intent of the Old Testament. As time went on and progressed in Christ's ministry, the Lord would introduce changes into the religious practice of God's people based on who he was and what he came to do. So in Mark's gospel and in the rest of the New Testament, we will come to see changes to the day of worship. That's not just a little tinkering, that's a seismic change to change a day of worship. Another one, to change the kosher diet. That's not tinkering, that's overhaul. But our Lord did it by the authority of his teaching, and therefore it was warranted. The Lord Jesus had the authority to do this, and even the people who heard him recognized that authority. Third, we see Christ's authority in his casting out of demons. In Mark 1, 25 and 26, it says this, "And Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be quiet and come out of him.' Throwing him into convulsions, the unclean spirit cried out with a loud voice and came out of him." Here we have kingdoms in conflict, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. Mark uses the word unclean spirit, by which he is referring to demons. The word unclean spirit means a foul, lewd, and unclean spirit. The demons quake in the presence of divine holiness. Oh, holy Son of God, what do you have to do with us? What is different about how Jesus dealt with demons is that he effectively drove them out. In fact, we get this Greek word exorcise, means to cast out or to throw out. While Jewish religious leaders talked about casting out demons, their efforts were ineffective. Jesus, on the other hand, has total authority over these enemies and effectively cast them out by his almighty word. he tells them, be quiet and come out of him. This strong command emphasizes Jesus' absolute authority to establish his kingdom in the face of evil. The response from the demons is swift and effective. They left the man with a convulsion and a loud shriek. They come out of the man and leave him alone. Jesus Christ as Lord commands the demons to come out, and they begrudgingly do so. A unique feature of Mark's gospel is that among the four gospels, his has the most firsthand accounts of demonic exorcism and deliverance. And there's no shying away from it. This is real. This is not superstitious. This is real. There's a real devil, and there's a real demonic realm, fallen angels. We may not see it that much in our entire lives, but they are real. And Christ confronts them and overcomes them because he is God of all. This is Mark's way of the announcement of Christ's kingdom by his effective and authoritative actions, which verify he is king. The demons had no choice but to leave when they are confronted by the command of Almighty King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark concludes this passage by saying these words, which are a wrap-up of his authority in Mark 1:27. They were all amazed, and so they debated among themselves, saying, what is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. There were robust discussions in the synagogue in Capernaum and elsewhere, and the conversations revolved around Christ's authority. Mark is giving testimony of Jesus of Nazareth, of his identity and what he was able to do. Our Lord's actions show his authority and his calling of his disciples and his teaching and of his casting out of demons. May God strengthen us to bow to Christ's authority and to follow him as Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, just as these disciples left everything and immediately followed the call of your Son, help us to follow the call of your holy word and gospel. These things we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.